Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conservationist Conversationalist. I am Brandon Enyer.
And I am Aiden Wood.
Yeah, we're back. We weren't here last week. It snuck up on us, and we have our other podcasts that were going on, and we needed a break last week. And now we're back.
Last week, I was supposed to have my podcast out on Tuesday, which is the day we usually record, and then I found out that I had bed bugs, and so I spent like 4 or 5 hours like doing all my laundry, going and buying a mattress protector, like deep cleaning my room. Then I had to push back that other podcast, and I ended up not releasing it until Thursday.
That's one thing I will say about living on the third floor of an apartment complex. I have almost zero bugs ever in my apartment.
Yeah, I mean, bed bugs, like they can crawl on your clothes, kind of like lice. So, like, you just have to like hug somebody or like. And then what I think, the way I think that I got them is I got new clothes at Target, and I think that there probably were bed bugs on the new clothes, like somebody else tried them on. Because the first bites that I got were both on my legs when I was wearing my new pants for the first time.
Well, and I can say this, and a lot of people who are listening are going to be like, oh God, you shouldn't have said this. But I used to work for a property management company who we managed a very large hotel or a part of a large hotel chain, one that was here, and everybody's like, you know, oh well, it's a nice hotel though, so they don't have bed bugs. I remember I talked to the management the maintenance, and I'm like, oh, so you guys don't have to worry about that, right? And he's like, oh no, every hotel deals with it at some point. Yeah. Just keep it very, very hush. So just because you think that it's fancy or something, no.
Yeah, I mean, like, because the reason that they have might have a reputation for never having bed bugs isn't because they never get them. It's because they, like, know how to deal with them when they do get them.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, because they are, like, hyper-vigilant on them.
Yeah. No, it's true. And it's funny. I remember when I used to live out in the county, and I used to live on like, a five-acre farm. It's crazy because you get used to, not bed bugs, but you get used to like, having, you know, you have the doors open because it's hot or whatever, so you have flies in the house. And it's so weird making that transition. I feel like such a, like, weakling now. Because in my apartment, I don't have flies. I don't have, like, I have screens on the windows and whatever, and, you know, because that's what it came with. And I'm, like, so not used to it anymore. I used to remember, you know, there were flies in the house, and you'd hang up the fly strips, you know, whatever. And, of course, because back then, you know, it was like we were a kid, and there was no, like, cruel, you know, what was cruel or whatever. And because, yeah, so.
No, when I was a kid, I hated any, like, fly traps. Like, my mom would put, like, or my aunt, mom and aunt would put, like, bowls out of, like red wine to like drown fruit flies. And I was like very upset about this.
Yeah, no, I can totally understand that. But anyways, so, we're back, and it's, we had some great news today, coming onto our phones. I'm saying that sarcastically. If you guys can't pick it up.
I could not pick it up. So thank you for clarifying.
I'm glad I could do that. So basically, the world has hit a level of carbon dioxide that has not seen for 3 million years. That's before us humans inhabited this planet. And it's not good news.
No, it is not. This is the highest level of carbon dioxide we have experienced in our atmosphere since we have existed as a species. It's wild to me.
An 85 degree recording by the Arctic Ocean. I mean, imagine that. Sensors at the Mauna Loa Observatory in Hawaii indicated that concentrations of the greenhouse gas, a bright byproduct of the burning of fossil fuels, had reached 450 parts per million, meaning that for every 1 million molecules of gas in the atmosphere, 415 were of carbon dioxide. Essentially, there's a lot of scientific things that come from this, obviously, but there's also a bigger thing politically, which is that there's constantly been a denying of these sort of things happening, and now it's going to become harder and harder to deny this, one would assume. But then again, I was reading another article the other day about how with flat earthers as a group out there come other science deniers, as they call it now, which is crazy to think people could deny science, but that's becoming a thing now.
I mean, like, ultimately, it's So the Alabama rape bill was passed, or it's an abortion law that has effectively criminalized all abortion of any kind in Alabama, a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade. And I had somebody come into my Twitch stream today and was like, I can't believe it. This is like not just an attack on women. It's an attack on science. It's an attack on logic. And I was like, when do you think that anybody cared about science? And he was like, well, I'm a scientist. I care. And I'm like, yeah, but like politicians don't give a fuck. You know, like the voting populace doesn't give a fuck about science. And in fact, are often extremely anti-science.
Which is incredibly crazy to me because it's the one thing that has roots based in actual fact. And so it's incredible to think that, you know, by me speaking of that bill as well, it becomes harder and harder because I've talked about people who watch Handmaid's Tale, right? Which I have never actually watched it, but it is... It's insanely, I don't know if you've watched it, but I know the premise of it, and it's crazy, right? About basically where the taking away of women's rights ends up if it keeps on going. And, you know, I've heard people say, oh, gosh, well, with you know the way things are looking, we're headed there, and I'll always be like, no, come on. And nobody would let that happen. Like, nobody's going to let that happen. But, I mean, and I still believe that. But when you see what's happened today in Alabama and Georgia, or this week, I should say, I mean, it is scary because it is a complete reversal of something that, you know, has been law now for, I mean, gosh, I'm trying to think of when Roe v. Wade happened. But I mean, gosh.
I can look it up for you.
Yeah, I know it was in the... Oh man, I have it here.
It's okay. You can admit you don't know something. It's 1973.
I was gonna say 72. I was so close. Anyways, sure. I didn't want to be wrong. But yeah, so 73. So that's what we're talking. That's gosh, now you know, nearly 50 years, and so when you think about that being now changed in these states, you wonder what comes next. You know, obviously, and. Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. It's a lot of just kind of mind-blowing news this week. You know, I mean, we kind of knew that about climate change, right? I mean, like you and I, we've been talking about this kind of stuff for a long time. It's something that we obviously are passionate about. But when it starts to really, when real statistics are not just, oh, this is hypothetically what could happen, but now this is what's happening, it paints a very different picture now when you know, what is now in front of us. It's just, it's almost a little bit like ominous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been ominous for a long time. Part of me, like, I feel like I've talked about this on the show before, but part of me feels like so resigned, you know? It's because I remember being a kid and like watching An Inconvenient Truth and like being really concerned about that and like trying to learn how to recycle properly and like, I was always picking up litter wherever I went, and like I was really concerned about acid rain, which no one talks about anymore.
Right.
I was really concerned about it as a kid. I was like, the rain is toxic and it's influencing our ecological systems. Because I was a nerdy fucking like 7-year-old, and I would go on like the rainforest an advocacy website, like, and I would like constantly be reading articles. Like, I cared so much, and I like. Tried to get people to care, and it's like a decade and a half later, and like I don't know, it feels like no one gives a fuck, you know? It feels like all that information was available like 15 years ago.
Well, and you know, there's a story that my grandfather used to tell me, and again, I don't know if what the science is to back this up, but it was something that he at least would hear from personal accounts when he would have to travel down to California for work. And because of how the smog was down there, and this is back, we're talking in the 70s, right? And how the smog was down there, that people, he would basically, not emotionally, but physically start crying because his eyes were not used to it. And that they were supposedly, the talk was that they would actually, people who lived down there long enough would develop a certain film over their eyes because of how bad the smog was. So they could better be, get used to that sort of air. And because whenever he would go down there, his eyes would just pour out water because it was so, and again, I don't know what the actual, but he told me this story growing up. And it was something like you mentioned with acid rain, something that we did learn, you know, in school as well. Those things that supposedly happened years and years ago. I mean, we know acid rain happened, but the other one, you know, is obviously what my grandfather told me. But, yeah. But you know, but these are to think that was years and years ago. And now here we are in 2019, and you know, and it's and now that it's kind of, you know, slapping us in the face, and people are still just like ignoring that there's something slapping them in the face.
Yeah, I just like if I like, there's an article that came out from CNN this past week. It was May 7th, and it's basically American Psychological Association published a like 60 page Let me check. It's a American Psychological Association made a 69 nice guides to help mental health professionals assist people recovering suffering from climate anxiety. Essentially that people's fear, stress, anxiety about the climate is getting to a point where it's impacting their day-to-day lives, and to the point that the American Psychological Society needed to intervene. And I will be reading that. I just found out about this today. I don't know. It's like for me, it's like if I had that level of fear, anxiety, and grief 15 years ago, I would be like dead now. Like I would not be able to sustain that like kind of energy or passion. And so, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what people are going to do. Like, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
No, you know, I think I talked about it on this maybe before you joined the show. And it's something that I still think is sort of an important point to be made, because you always hear, you know, there's always going to be discussions between generations, but you'll hear older generations say, why is the kids are so depressed these days? You know, why are they? And obviously there's a ton of reasons why people suffer from depression and whatnot. But there is one thing too that we are witnessing, as millennials are witnessing, and what Gen Z will end up. You and I have talked about how they almost carry this big burden right now, and the generation after them. But you know, we are witnessing the end of the world as we know it. You know, it's not the end of the world, apocalyptic, you know, religious, blah blah blah. But the world as we know it is ending, and that's, there is a very sad side to that, I think, for this generation. And I do think that does contribute, you know, to an overall feeling of just there's this weight on us, you know, and I think it does contribute to a lot of people's depression and their mental health, because it's just it's a really weird time to be alive. And yeah, boy. So yeah, so like we said, not, you know, not a great news. We kind of expected some of these things, but definitely not great news in that regard. Mm-hmm. There are some things to talk about politically. So I mean, do you think we should jump into the old jungle?
Let's go.
All right. Well, Joe Biden, we mentioned, I think, the last time that we talked, that he had just thrown his hat into the ring, of course, but we all knew that he was going to at some point. It's funny because if you look at certain polls, he's leading by quite a bit in a lot of different polls. Where Bernie sits right behind him is depending on what poll you're looking at. Two people right now, though, who have very decent followings, who are fighting really hard for both of them, is, of course, somebody who you're not so much a fan of, and Andrew Yang, and the other one being Elizabeth Warren, who she has a huge backing right now of people who truly believe that she has the best of any politician, not just this election, but of many elections, that she has the best platform that she's running on right now.
She has any platform as opposed to some other candidates.
That is also a good point to make. You're obviously a fan of Elizabeth Warren. In fact, I believe you even said on Twitter recently you would potentially like to volunteer for Elizabeth.
I just wanted to like externalize something I've been thinking about. Like I was kind of like, maybe I should volunteer for Elizabeth Warren's campaign, and then like I posted that on Twitter just to like get it off my chest, and like one of her like campaign staff like replied to me being like, awesome, email me, and I'm like, okay, cool. I sold to them. And like on the inside, I'm like, do I have time for this? So that's yeah. I'm like, do I have time for this? But I still sent her an email being like, hey, I'm in Orange County. These are the skills I have. These are how I can help. I have not gotten an email back. And I'm like half hoping I don't right now. And then like maybe like in a few weeks or a few months, I can get involved. But I did actually pull out my wallet today and I did donate to the Elizabeth Warren campaign. The first time I have ever donated to a political campaign. And yeah.
Well, I've got to tell you, you know, from somebody who has volunteered for campaigns in the past and who volunteers for my local Democrats here in Whatcom County, I can tell you that although it can be stressful, very, very stressful, during the campaign time, it actually is quite a bit of fun. And it's 2016, I worked with local and actually nationwide Bernie volunteers, and it was a great group of people, at least that I dealt with, and it was fun. There's something really, really fun about it, and so it is worth it. I totally understand where you're coming from too, because I didn't think at the time I had time for it, and I didn't really have time for it, but I was glad that I did have the experience, and I am glad that right now I'm getting the experience of being secretary for local Whatcom Democrats, but as a fan of hers, I noticed somebody said today, and I think there's definitely some truth to it, that if she were a male candidate, it wouldn't even be close. Do you believe that compared to Biden? Because I feel like Biden, regardless of what he says, because I can't stand the guy, if I'm going to be honest, but do you think that even if she were a male, that she would be ahead of Biden right now?
I don't know. It's like a really big hypothetical. I think that part of Biden's popularity comes from sort of like the celeb status he had as vice president. Right. Like Biden was like cool. Like he was a cool vice president. I don't want him to be president, but he was just sort of like he was considered like a hip guy, because I think for the vice president, you don't really look too hard at their record, as opposed to like when you're a presidential candidate. But he still was riding on that, you know, coming into this campaign.
I guess that's kind of what I'm saying though, right? Is that there's Biden had when he threw his hat into the ring, he had overnight, he was ahead on the polls. He already was leading the polls or leading some polls before he even announced. Because of that name, the establishment, both sides tend to get a jump, right? And I guess that's kind of what I'm wondering is, would Elizabeth, I think that probably the better question would be is she would be rivaling Bernie. She already is rivaling Bernie for that matter.
But
she would be probably further ahead of Bernie maybe if she wasn't. Because I do believe that is probably because of the way she speaks, because she's got a little softer voice, which is funny because people will, chauvinists will also put down female candidates for being too screechy or too yelly or whatever, whereas she's not. She's quieter and soft-spoken. So I would imagine that if she did have, if she were a male candidate, I think she would potentially be ahead of Bernie right now, just based on what I've seen, the people who definitely love where she stands.
Yeah. And I think that her support is absolutely growing. I mean, like it's growing at a rate that, it's just very impressive to me. I think that it's hard to make a direct comparison because of like all these different factors. I think that like maybe there are ways in which her gender works against her, but there's also a lot of ways in which her gender works for her, because there's a lot of women who are fucking ready for a female president.
Right.
I feel like there's yes, there might be some people who don't like her because she's a woman. There's also people who are going to like her because there's a woman. Which side like wins out, and is like which like way would that sway? I don't know. It's like a big hypothetical, and I'm not really sure.
What's been disappointing to me is I've seen a lot of people who I consider my more establishment Democrat friends who were all on board for Kamala and saying they wanted a female candidate, right? And they never really gave Elizabeth the chance at that point, because I don't think they see her as that middle, as that establishment Democrat, even though they won't call themselves that, but that's what they are. And so it's interesting to me because they actually have jumped ship to Biden now, because I think of where his celebrityism is in the party. And it's sad to me because the female candidate who is making ground, not to say that Kamala won't come debate time, and we still have a long time before primaries, But the one candidate who is making strides is somebody who has good policies with Elizabeth Warren, and yet the same people I know who are saying they wanted a female candidate are now not saying they want a female candidate. They're saying, well, Biden has the best chance to beat Trump. And that's not to, by the way, discount what you're saying, which is totally right. There are plenty of people who do want a female candidate. But it's crazy to me that the establishment Dems are still so brainwashed by celebrity names in the party, it feels like. Which is also insane, because Elizabeth Warren has been a name in the party. She's not like, because I mean, you know, I'm a Bernie fan, but I'm going to try to like do this from Elizabeth's side right now.
Yeah.
Elizabeth has never not been a Democrat, whereas that's been the argument against Bernie at times, which is that he's an independent Democrat. I don't understand exactly why the establishment hasn't come around to Elizabeth yet. That doesn't really make sense to me, especially since too she's somebody who still considers herself a capitalist. She's you know, she kind of is the, I don't want to say middle ground, because she's not middle ground, but she's the, she seems like the bridge, you would think, between the establishment and then the what do you want to call them, the outsiders of the Democratic Party, like Bernie and like Tulsi Gabbard, you know?
Yeah, and Andrew Yang.
you yeah. said it, not me.
I'm just saying, like, he's an outsider to the Democratic Party. Yeah, no
certainly
way.
Is.
I mean, I think that, like, a lot of establishment types, like, they have... So, like, when I was younger, like, I sort of viewed... Like, I had this mindset. Must have explained it to me this way, and I didn't have the understanding to, like, challenge this idea, but somebody framed the difference between conservatives and liberals as liberals want want change. Like, liberals are looking for things to change, and conservatives like a status quo. And since then, like, I've learned that's like, and then like the way it was framed was, I think, by like probably like a social studies teacher or something, who was framing it as like there's a balance between these two forces, and that's like beneficial, because like sometimes we don't want to change things too fast, and sometimes we want, there's like issues that need to be addressed, so we need them to change. So that was like the way it was framed to me, and I've sort of come to learn that that's not really true. And especially like, maybe that might be true in some ways for conservatives versus liberals, but it's certainly not true for Republicans and Democrats. And the final sort of nail in that like coffin of me thinking that way was like Trump's election, where you have somebody who's like saying build the wall, and like suggesting all these like radical, like completely out there, completely irresponsible proposals. And like so many Republicans just got on board with that. And I was like, there was still like a latent like belief in that sort of like dichotomy that completely upset, that his election completely upset. But I do think that like dichotomy exists. It's not along party lines. And I don't even think it's along conservative versus liberal lines necessarily exactly. But I think that there's a dichotomy between people who want change to happen, and that change can go a lot of different directions depending on their political orientation, and people who like things a little safer and think that too much change too fast is like dangerous or scary, you know? And I think that like there's like people within the Democratic Party who like this sort of system that we have right now, like not with Trump, but like want to return to like the pre-Trump era, and aren't as interested in a lot of these much more sweeping, much more systematic issues that Warren is trying to address. I think that might feel alarming to them.
Well, there's a lot of truth to it, because even if you look at the Democratic Party right now, you have a separation of, there is a left and a right there as well right now, sort of, because I mean the Republican Party is even crazier than we thought it would be, you know, back when we thought maybe Jeb Bush was going to be the nominee in 2016.
Oh God.
Crazy those times, right? But it's kind of funny that you bring that whole kind of thought sequence up, because it actually fits into sort of what, if you did you see the Andrew Neil interview with Ben Shapiro that made all the rounds?
The BBC interview?
Right, yeah.
I did not. I avoid anything that involves looking at Ben Shapiro.
I totally understand that. I can't, but I had to watch it.
He just irks me.
Oh, he irks me. He and Charlie Kirk irk me.
Because he just looks so smug.
And he talks like he's on 1.5 times speed on a, you know, when you listen to a podcast at that speed.
Oh, he's totally the type of person who listens to all of his podcasts at least 1.75 speed. Like,
he might be up around 2 times. But anyways, but what's interesting is that Andrew Neil's line of questions were very similar to what you just brought up, actually, in that, I mean, in the sense of that, basically he alluded to the fact that the Republican Party really hasn't come up with any new policy the more conservative wing of America haven't really come up with a whole lot of policy in the last few years. They've instead been trying to stop policy that was created by the left wing of the country. And I mean, I'm sure if you dug really, really deep and you saw some, when it comes to especially economic things, I'm sure you would find there are policies that the right wing of the country have passed. But in all truth, when it comes to social politics, Neil was completely right. And by the way, Neil, although accused of being partisan by Shapiro, was not being partisan. He's just, I guess Ben Shapiro's just not used to the fact that on BBC, for the most part, they're pretty professional about things. And here in the United States, we certainly seem to have news channels that are, you know, skewed one way or the other. But another thing that was brought up that you just brought up was basically the fact that you know, even though the Republicans might not like Trump, even Ben had to admit that even though he doesn't like Trump, that it's a vessel to get Republican ideology passed, and that's really all he cares about at the end of the day. And so, yeah, I mean, that's where we're at right now. And I think that's probably, so you're probably very right when you say that, even when in just regards to the Democratic Party in general, is that really they like the safety of what has always been known. And what we're seeing out of the left wing of the Democratic Party is, I guess, a little bit scary for those who think that we've been doing really, really great for the last how many years. You know, and which in my personal opinion, and, you know, and it is only just my personal opinion, I think that if you really, truly look at it, the majority of us have been getting screwed. And that's why I like to hear people who actually have, you know, and I really do believe that if you're going to, I love the crazy, you know, let's, you know, flip things on their head kind of talk. But I think that if you don't want that sort of talk, then I guess Elizabeth Warren would be the person to get behind them, because I don't believe that she is as much of the flip it on its head. She's a little bit more like, no, I just have some real practical ideas, you know. I mean, I'm all for flipping it on its head, but I'm also for compromise. And if Elizabeth Warren is compromised in the sense of having things be more practical, then I'm all for that. Because I don't want to see Biden be president. I mean, look at too, because Biden became popular because, I mean, I'm not saying that he wasn't fun at times as vice president, but meme culture made Joe Biden likable too, let's be honest.
Yeah, I didn't give a fuck about Joe Biden, like, right, until, like, there are all these funny memes, which just, right, like, show, like, that we have ape brains, and, like, we are easily swayed by, like, humor. Like,
yeah.
But I never was really interested in him, like, from a political standpoint. I just thought the memes were funny.
Yeah, but, I mean, when you look at some of the things he said, and, in all fairness, some of them are from years and years ago, but you look at some of the things he said about this generation and the things he said about, I mean, and he is completely backwards in time. You know, when you really, I mean, he's not definitely the way that the party, I mean, not even close to the way the party has been headed when it comes to the youth of the party. And so, I mean, it's just, I actually, you know, I was never a fan of Hillary Clinton, and I actively supported Bernie over Hillary Clinton, but yet I can't believe I'm saying this, but I would take Hillary coming back to the race over Joe Biden. I mean, that's actually where I'm at right now, because I really don't like where he sits on things. I don't like the fact that he doesn't ever take responsibility for actions. He doesn't apologize for things that might have been, or even just, he doesn't even ever seem to say, hey, look, this is what I felt at that time. This is how I feel now. He never, ever does that. He just feels, I can say I'm Joe Biden. I'm going to get the support. So what the fuck do I get? Do I care? You know, that's what it feels like. I'm not saying that's what he's thinking, but that's what it feels like to me when I watch. You know? Yeah. So I guess that, do we have anything else in the way of politics? I think we have a month from the first debate, and we still got, I think, if I'm not right, Castro might have just gotten enough donations to now debate. I think a few candidates who are still looking for the donations to debate would be Tulsi Gabbard, Gillibrand, and potentially Klobuchar, I believe. But as of now, the candidates we know we will see on the debate stage are going to be, I believe, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, of course, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and I believe Beto O'Rourke, who has fallen. That guy took a monumental fall, by the way.
Beto O'Rourke?
Yeah. He's like 2% now, he's polling at. And so that's crazy. He's like down in Andrew Yang territory. I think Andrew Yang's actually above him now.
I saw a quote from him. I didn't actually read the article because I don't give a fuck about him. But it was like he regrets announcing his candidacy with a Vanity Fair cover. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah, that was Beto. With, and then by then the cover looked like the Reagan cover from way back in the day. If you look at it, it's almost like the same stance, the same like hands where they were as well. I did have to laugh though, because I was like, you ever have those times where you're like on Twitter or whatever, and you're like kind of like daydreaming, and when you're like watching videos, I was like watching this video, actually it was Facebook today, and it was one of Andrew Yang's videos, and it was from, because it was in Seattle, and he was watching these two bald eagles soar above him and saying, oh, and the people were like, oh, it's a sign, because people are dumb like that. And I was thinking to myself, you ever watched Arrested Development?
I haven't, but I am looking at, sorry, the Vanity Fair, okay, versus, yeah, the Ronald Reagan covers. So they are strikingly similar. And what were you saying? What?
Yeah, so in the Andrew Yang video, he had the eagles flying above him in Seattle, and he's like, oh, and everybody's like, because they're stupid, they're like, oh, it's a sign, right? And I love Arrested Development, and since I'm like daydreaming while watching videos on Facebook, I have like the Arrested Development voice in my head be like, oh, because he's like, it's two American eagles. And in my head, I'm like, I can hear the Arrested Development voice like, but they weren't American. They had actually come across the border from Canada and were visiting America on it. But he's like, it's American eagles. I'm like, are the eagles really American, Andrew?
I don't know what their territory is.
No, I mean, they all the time back and forth in Canada, the U.S. They don't have to stop at customs. anyways, but yeah, we do have some other news regarding, can you believe this? We never talk about Wall Street here. Or usually if we do, it's not in a positive way. Products, which are usually meat alternatives. They make the Beyond Burger, Beyond Bras, etc. When they went public, I want to say the number was $25 when they went public. I think the first trade or something like that was at $45. And I'm not 100% of those numbers, but because I'm not like great with stocks and stuff. Big shock. But today they had hit at a point today. They had hit nearly $79 per share. So is, for everybody who says that it's a trend or whatnot, it sure seems like plant-based products are, at least for the time being, while the market is going right now, Beyond was going up. So
I don't think that using the stock market as a way of determining whether or not something is or is not a trend,
right,
it's probably not the best way, because I mean, like, they are called stock market trends from what, like, I know
that's also
fair, I mean look at, like, not all like investments like hold up, you know, I'm thinking, right, about cryptocurrency.
Do we, you know, talk about cryptocurrency? Do we?
We could talk about your cryptocurrency. About this
before the show.
We did talk about it before the show, and I thought it was very funny.
Before we get into the cryptocurrency, but what I will say though, it is a good sign though when the rest of the market's going down that Beyond is going up. It does seem like it's like I know the fundraising that Impossible just did was they're a $2 billion company right now. I mean, imagine that. That's a lot of money, and that's like how long did it take Donald Trump to lose that amount of money? So they are they're a $2 billion company. They're going to go public soon. You're talking about how you can get in on investing with them pre-IPO. And I don't know how to do any of that, but I can say that it looks like good news for stuff like Beyond and Impossible. And, you know, it is Wall Street. So, in a month, everything could go to shit. But, crypto, though. You were asking me because you were saying, well, I think maybe, maybe if you want to invest some of your money potentially in vegan stocks. And I told you, yeah, that I only have cryptocurrency, which is.
And I told you to diversify.
You did, yeah. Which I said I have a lot of different types of cryptocurrency, including today. I just sold some of my Ethereum Classic for Dogecoins, which are on the rise today, by the way. And I have a lot of Dogecoins right now. I can look it up. It's in my Robinhood app.
I really want to hear how many Dogecoins you have. Right, never wanted to know anything more.
I figured as much. In US dollars, I have $15.19 worth of Dogecoins.
But a solid investment.
Currently in my Doge wallet, I've got 3,801 Dogecoins. So just imagine when they hit a dollar, I'll have $3,801.
If they hit a dollar.
If they hit a dollar, that's fair. Right now, they're like at a third of a penny, I believe, if I'm reading that right.
So they've got a long way to go before they get to a dollar.
Yeah.
I feel currently at a third of a penny.
I bought Ripple on my other app, and Ripple went from 40 cents to 43 cents in like a couple hours.
Okay.
Now, before I had Ethereum Classic, and before I did have one share, and that was in Snapchat.
Yes, yes, you did. Yep. Yes, you did. And I lost my fucking shit about that before the show.
You did, yeah. I sold my Snapchat shares. When I had bought crypto at first, it was right before it hit that peak of like $27,000 Bitcoin per coin. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be the rest of my life. This is going to be so much fun. This is easy money. And boy, did I learn the harsh realities of investing very, very quickly.
No, there's no such thing as easy money unless you.
Yeah, I know that now. I know that now. I was like, I even remember the place I was at. I was in Whistler with my mom and her husband.
Where is Whistler?
Whistler's a mountain resort up in British Columbia.
Oh, okay.
And so we're at.
I had no way of knowing that.
Yeah, we're at this great place called Mongoli Grill. And where you can like get your veggies all sauteed up with sauce, and it's great. And I'm sitting there in Whistler, the snow's coming down, it's beautiful, it's right before Christmas, and I'm looking at Bitcoin like just surging. I'm telling my mom and her husband, I'm like, yeah, you guys gotta buy Bitcoin because it's just going crazy right now. I'm like feeling all great about myself. Like, look at my wallet, my crypto wallet, I was up to like $400 or something, and yeah, like you said, there's no such thing as easy money because it's painful. It's really painful. I had once where I once had like $400 to $500, it was down to as low as $60 this year. I mean, that's a lot of money. I should have sold.
Yeah, fuck it. You should have sold and then invested that money in like other stuff, like a variety, right? like.
I should have diversified. That's what I should have done.
You should have diversified. I recently pulled out like the only investments that I had in favor of paying off my credit card bill. But once I save up a little bit of money in my actual savings account, I'm hoping to start investing a little bit. And I was using an app called Acorns, right, which like it's like it diversifies your an investment. It makes an investment portfolio for you, and it diversifies it amongst like government bonds, like U.S. government bonds, like stocks, like large company stocks, small company stocks.
And it'll actually even round up if you want. It'll round up your purchases to the nearest dollar and invest those change into it as well if you want to.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah. So like basically, if like you buy, if you spend like $3.20 on a coffee, it'll round up to $4, and that 80 cents difference, it invests automatically for you, so you don't have to think about it. But then I also had like a $5 monthly contribution, and I'm gonna start that again soon. But I wanna have like that app, and then also maybe eventually invest in some type of cryptocurrency just to like have that option.
Dogecoin. I don't know if you've heard about Dogecoin, but
yeah. So if I invest in Dogecoin, the value of that stock that goes up, so that kind of benefits you. Is that how stocks work?
I'm pretty sure. We're not exactly. I will not lie here to the listeners. I literally just look at trends and I go, oh, okay. It's like I use the same sort of idea for my cryptocurrency as I do for like my fantasy football teams and my.
How does that work out for you?
Well, right now it's doing better.
Okay.
I mean, it was really bad a few months ago, but I did buy when it was really low. So now that's why it's looking better now. Cause I actually bought more. I bought some Ripple today. I think I said that. Yeah. I bought some Ripple.
Yes, you bought Ripple, and it wasn't not the pea milk. We're not talking about the pea milk.
No, not pea milk. So, by the way, I think that was really cute. You just said you had a credit card, like singular.
I have one credit card. Yes. Oh, and I want to open another one to, earn airline points.
I was gonna say that takes me back to a time that was really, really nice and I didn't have debt.
The biggest purchases I've splurged on have been veterinary bills. And now that I'm like doing live streaming, I'm like spending money on games to play on stream and like equipment and stuff. But overall my overall I don't spend. And I spend a lot of money on food, but nothing that I don't have. Mm-hmm. So I just haven't had the need to. See, and I don't want to like get a credit card and not like and then like fuck myself over, you know?
Yeah, because you don't be like me who gets like, you know, where I'm like I have like a Target Red Card, and it's like, oh hey, we just upped your limit. I'm like, free money, yeah. What do I need from Target
it's
today?
Buddy. I don't know if I'm using the word right, but I think it's a honey trap. It's what they call that.
It is a honey trap. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what you need to do is you need to, if you come up here to visit, mom, she, a lot of times I do buy food, but a lot of times she just makes great food, vegan food. So basically I just had enchiladas today for lunch and
you keep talking about those vegan enchiladas. I think it's kind of mean of you.
Oh man, I want them so like I ate all of them. I had, there's like three, you know, enchiladas and about two and a half. I ate all of them for dinner and I'm like, I just want more of those because they're so good. I mean, I love the red enchilada sauce too, but these are the white enchilada sauce, green chilies.
Does this have anything to do with stock market investing and credit cards? No. I don't know why this turned into a financial podcast. Well,
you're saying you spend money on you're spending money.
Oh,
on
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, I work at a restaurant, and like it's one thing to like bring like a little sandwich with you to work or like some like chips or something, and like hold yourself over till you get home. I work half shifts, like I work part time, so I mean like I hypothetically could, like I wouldn't die if I like waited until I got home, but right. I work at a restaurant and I like see a lot of food and I get very hungry, and so I get off the shift and I'm like, it is time to eat now.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I will use my 10% employee discount and I like always get food.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I gotta admit, yeah, too. I mean, a lot of the time I will go, there's locally here, we don't even have a lot of vegan spots, but there's some stuff, there's some places with some great vegan food. I don't know if you ever had Whole Foods sandwiches. But they have a tempeh bacon, tomato, lettuce, and avocado sandwich, and it's incredible. And then they have a voodoo sandwich as well, which I haven't had, but I'm sure it's great. But I get like into a habit, and I just stick with it. I don't always like go to big chain, you know, restaurants or whatever. But like I love Pita Pit, and they've got a great vegan hummus pita. But anyways, somehow we got talking about food. But as for investing though, but if people do want to invest, there are some options to invest into vegan things that are doing well. And so, yeah, watch out for Impossible Foods as well. Or you can just invest in Dogecoin, which is available on the Robinhood app.
Or you can invest in both.
You can diversify. You're enjoying Acorns though, because I used to have Acorns and I switched to Robinhood because I was like, I don't need nobody to tell me what to do, and that didn't work out so great. But I'm getting there.
I need someone to tell me what to do when it comes to like finances. Like I don't know fucking shit. I know some stuff and I'm like learning more. Mm. But like I remember like I would grow when I was growing up. I would like ask my moms fairly regularly like when they would talk about money, I always wanted more information, and they were like, right. you don't need to think about that, you know, like they wanted to make sure us kids didn't have to think about money, which is like, I get it, but also like, now I don't know fucking shit about money. Like, I don't, like, I never, like, I think a lot about how I want to parent, like, my future kids, and I, like, know that I want to, like, make our, like, family budget accessible to them. I want right. them to be able to see it. I want to first of all have a budget. I don't know how to budget. Like, I don't know what a budget looks like or what it
I don't does. Either.
Yeah. So like, I'm going to like make a budget and like try and get myself in the habit of like thinking about money that way and like having it and having it available so that if a kid asks like, why can't I buy this? Or like, why can't I get this? I can like be like, here's why, and explain it to them, because I feel like that's something that I was lacking.
This is going to be our first episode that goes viral where like a bunch of Gen Xers and baby boomers are going to be like, two millennials discuss, they don't know what budgets are. This is what's wrong.
I
mean, wrong.
Like, if it gets us views, I feel like it gets us listened on.
All jokes aside, the majority of what I know about the stock market, which, and I don't admit to being an expert by any stretch, obviously, but what I know is because my grandfather used to work for IBM, and so he's been a, he's had IBM shares for a long time. And, you know, they're now in their 80s, and what I know about stocks is they always ask me to look up on my machine, as he calls it, my iPhone, that he wants me to look up what IBM shares are at, and I'll be like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Sell! Like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, no, we've got time. And I'm like, well, yes, we'd love, yeah, that's great, you know, that's great. But also, you are in your 80s, and you've done a really good job of saving. Like, get that fucking money out of there, you know, and go buy a Roomba. I don't know.
Roomba's gross. You have a big luxury item. Like, until you're 80 and buy a Roomba. I'm sorry, what?
That's the first thing that came to my mind. They could use a Roomba, you know.
Okay, sure.
That might be my best thing on the internet coming up in a few minutes that has to do with Roomba. So everybody, stay tuned.
I always forget that we do that.
It's okay. Yeah. So I don't know what are you, but I mean, they could make their lives so much easier and simpler by pulling, cause they have other great investments as well. And they could, but just, you know, and, but yet the IBM keeps going up. And so that's what I know about stocks, is that now I get anxiety about IBM's goddamn stocks, because I'm like, oh shit, they haven't sold yet still. And they have a significant amount of shares in IBM.
Also, speaking of it, we should have mentioned this earlier, but the stock market fucking, like, crashed, like, 600 points.
Because because China retaliated. The
trade war.
Yeah. Yeah, we are in a trade war right now. That's right. Yeah. And,
we're in a trade war.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this morning we were told that the world is ending with, you know, with all the carbon dioxide levels. It just made us forget that we're also in a trade war with China.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, farmers are very worried about, and they very well should be. And so so Trump might, you know, he thinks he has a lot of farmers on his side. Well, I don't think he had as many as he thought he did. And now he definitely doesn't have a lot of them on his side. I want to say the Dow was down like, God, I don't know, over 600 points today.
Yeah, well, I think that was 2 days ago. It looks like it closed up 200 points today. And then the USA Today posted an article called Dow stock swings are exhausting, but here's how to survive. And I read that title and I was like, I am so glad that I don't closely follow the stock market.
Right.
Because I do not have the mental or emotional energy for that.
Yeah,
the
Dow Jones is up $207.06 or 207 points today. NASDAQ up 87.5 points today. But the day before, it was down like over 600 points, and I forget what the NASDAQ was down. But yeah, no, I agree. That's why, I mean, crypto is very, very stressful, but at least I know what I got. Now I know what I'm into, and I'll probably carry all this crypto with me to my grave one day, hopefully many years from now.
Well, hopefully you'll sell right before you die to buy a Roomba.
Well, yeah, that's going to be the more than likely a thing. It's going to, by that time, I don't know what Roombas are going to be like, but they're going to be legit. I can tell you that much.
I honestly think that I should probably get a Roomba. Like, how much do Roombas even cost?
I think they're like $400.
Because, like, I have $400.
Yeah, see what I mean? That's why I'm thinking, get your IBM shares out and get the fucking Roomba.
That was something like 200.
Oh, 200.
It depends. There's a lot. There's a ton of different types. There's like $250. Roombas. But I mean, like, I could honestly probably use a Roomba, like, just because I don't ever fucking vacuum.
I have a, I finally bought with my free money from Target, I bought one of those, it's a swivel headed vacuum a couple years ago, and it's changed my life. Because it has a swivel. Yeah. And yeah. So, I didn't realize how dirty my apartment was until I had a really good vacuum. And I was like, holy shit, it works.
Yeah, last year I asked my mom for a really good vacuum because I was fucking sick of those dirt devils. Like, oh yeah. My God, like the little red ones that like every college student has. They're not, those aren't vacuums. That, those are just things you run across your floor.
To oh, make right. You yeah, like those little like hand ones, right? Or is yours that
had it wasn't a hand. Mine you had a handle it could roll, but it didn't suck. It didn't suck things up well.
That's kind of what a vacuum needs to do.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole point.
This is kind of a funny story. I don't know if this is a story I should tell, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So the first vacuum that I had when I moved out on my own, and it was me and my brother lived with the, we were roommates. And we bought this vacuum that was not that expensive, but it worked really, really well, except that it kept like cracking. So we'd have to like tape it up and whatever. So we were watching this show. I don't know if you ever watched this show called The Whitest Kids You Know. And it was like a sketch comedy show. And they had this one sketch about how he went and bought the vacuum exactly like the one we bought when we moved into our apartment. And that the lady who was checking it, that was at the checkout, she like looked at him and was like, you are disgusting. And he's like, why? And she goes, I know what you people use those for because the suction's not quite too much and just right for something. And so, the whole sketch was about that. And I'm like, that's our vacuum. And so our vacuum was that, yeah. And that's, I did not use the vacuum for that ever, obviously. But
I fucking hope not.
Right, but I was so embarrassed then. I figured I can't. If anybody watched that show, they would see my vacuum, and they would the first thought in their head would be like, "It's that vacuum." Yeah. So now my vacuum I have now is much more sophisticated.
And you don't want to stick your dick in it.
No, I do not. No, I never wanted to ever. Maybe one day, depending on how Roombas come along. So believe it or not, do we want to go into our favorite things we saw on the internet? Because it's following down this track of Roombas.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to stick with my ongoing thing of talking about live streamers that I really like, because okay, that's easy. Great. And I always forget that we have to do this. And so I'm like,
that's
oh shit.
Great, though. That's great. Shout out to your friends.
But actually, I joined a Discord server for a group of people called the Knowledge Fellowship, and it's a group of educational streamers on Twitch. These are Twitch streamers who just do educational content. It's founded by was co-founded by Rocket Sage, and that's RockitSage, and okay. She does geology streams. So she teaches people about rocks and like volcanoes and shit, and it's like awesome.
That is so cool.
Yeah, she'll teach people like this, and she'll I've watched her streams when she was like showing people minerals under a microscope and like talking about how like different minerals will like fluoresce under a microscope. It was so cool, and talk about why it happens. I also found a streamer called Polyglottopus, who I'm also really into. She's she teaches herself languages on stream. She'll teach herself Japanese, Arabic, French, like all sorts of languages. People like learn along with her. I was actually watching her stream right before I stopped by her stream to say hi before we started recording today, and that's Polyglottipus, so PolyGlottipus on Twitch.
See, people are so cool. There's all these bad things happening, but there are so many people doing cool things on with what we have available to us. No, that's awesome. I'm a rock fan. I have there's this place called the Ginkgo Forest on the way to Walla Walla, Washington. I've got it in my camera right now. And yeah, I was really stoked. Like, I know like kids usually get into this stuff, but I was like, they have these like rocks you can like break open and there's, you know,
geodes.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. It's right here. Yeah. And then I don't know if you saw, I had a stream too, where I was like, I had like this fossil block and I had like all these fossils that I found in the block. Yeah. best thing I saw on the internet this week though, we're going back to Roombas. So let me see if I can find his name just so I give him the proper credit here. So he is a college student, and he decided that he does a lot of these things where he's a programmer. And his name is Michael Reeves, and he's a technology vlogger. And so he programs a lot of different things. He has, he vlogs about it.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking. I think I know. Right. You're going to go with. Continue.
Everybody's wanted him to make a video about a Roomba that screams so they could program it to scream and yell curse words. And he's really funny too, with how he does the videos. That's why I love it. He sells it very well. And so yeah, the Roomba that screams, if you look it up, it's everywhere. And if you haven't seen it, it's hilarious. It's so great. They're like eating. There's this one part where they're like eating dinner. He and his friends are, and it's just like running into stuff. And it's just like, fuck. it's great. So I absolutely love it. Michael Reeves is a legend. And so yeah, check that out. And yeah, and a shout out to my hometown. We've got it's sold out, unfortunately, for people who want to go check it out, but it benefits Western Washington University. It's called Double Major, and, Death Cab for Cutie in Odessa, two big bands from Washington. They're going to be playing at it. It benefits scholarship program at Western Washington University. I will be there. And the cool news that I just heard, our local food truck, Sage Against the Machine, a vegan food truck, will be there. With food for people who are at the concert. So yeah, I had to give that quick shout out to Bellingham, Washington. And yes, Sage Against the Machine will be there. Death Cab for Cutie will be there. Odessa will be there. Should be a fun night. That's on Saturday. So
nice.
For those of you listening in Bellingham, if you're there, come find me, say hi, and we'll discuss vegan food and Death Cab for Cutie and Odessa and whether they're from Seattle or Bellingham since they went to school here. Well, Aiden, it's been fun. Next week we're gonna try to not forget like we did. Well, we didn't forget last week. We just like decided collectively that we were like, okay, we have other. This is a tough week.
Yeah, you messaged me at like, I think it was like 11 p.m. after I ended my stream, or I saw it after I ended my stream, and you were like, fuck, it's Tuesday, and I was like, oh shit, and I was like, can we just give it this week? I like, I'm so much stuff, so much stuff, guys. I'm sorry.
So yeah, we'll be back next week with fun and games and no prizes. thank you everybody for joining us. Aiden, people can listen to Dibs podcast, your other podcast on, of course, Podcoin, iTunes, and Google Play and Spotify. And you can listen to my podcast, Lemonade Magazine's podcast, on Podcoin, iTunes, and Google Play, not on Spotify because they don't allow it.
Spotify's a little shit.
Right? Like, fuck you, Spotify. And so you can go listen on Podcoin, and should be a bonus podcast again here soon. We just have to iron out some details there. And yeah, so, and of course, you can listen to this podcast on Podcoin and on iTunes and on Spotify because Spotify allows this one because we're not playing music, so we should not start playing music. So yeah, listen to us there and make sure to leave a review and a comment and give us some stars, and yeah, we'd be forever grateful to you unless you give us one star, and then we'll just say, okay, well, thank you for your feedback. anything you want to say before we sign off, Aiden?
I think Sage Against the Machine is a really great name for a food truck.
It is. It's amazing. Yeah, well, everybody stay dope. And we'll be back next week. Later.